Please listen to the teachings by cultivating the motivation, thinking that I must attain the fully completed, unsurpassed, the peerless state of the enlightenment for the benefit of all mother sentient beings that pervade the infinitude of the space, and for this purpose that one is going to listen to the teachings.
ね、あ、ちょ、ジョナムジェルンで、ね、シェノンブワラ。ね、あ、トマね。トマゲは。で、あ、ジョジョタ。え、ゾンバタンジャニンバコバチ。ね、パドゲはジョゲトンマナム。あ、だてんでそうにばれ。ね、トマゲは、
to explain the graduated path to enlightenment, the teachings are set forth in three main sections. The first section is the author's writings of praise, the pledge to the commitment to the writing, and a writing in which the author kind of inspires the listening or the study of this text. This is the first part of the author. And the second part deals mostly with the explanation, which is the main body of the text. And the third part is the conclusion, where prayers of dedications are written. So it comes in these three parts.
だともちょじゅんてらんともあ、なもぐるめんずんごかやそうね。あ、ロマンジャンベヨンなさそうです。そういんばれ。あ、だ、あ、てよね。あ、ジェルモチ、あ、パンでジャンベヨンがとばち。あね、あ、ともめんのんそだよ。あ、じじんジャンベヨンがゲビシにぜね。え、あんだが、さ、
So the praise begins with the praise to in the homage or the prostration to Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa. The author of the text himself is regarded as the emanation of Manjushri, and throughout Lama Tsongkhapa's lifetime, he had unceasingly the clear appearance of Manjushri, and nurtured by that kindness throughout his life, in the instructions or transmissions that he received. So in this way, also. one could regard Manjushri as the root guru, inseparable from Lama Tsongkhapa's root guru.
So the
praise to Manjushri, Manjugosha, the term in Tibetan, jam as refers to the having smoothened out all the roughness or the coarseness of the mind's delusions or defilements, having smoothened that out completely, refers to that quality, and pal as in magnificence or the glory refers to the qualities of the holy body, speech and mind. Qualities of the holy body refers to the 80 and 32 major and minor marks of exemplifications on the holy body, and the qualities of the holy speech refers to the 60 mellifluent qualities of that speech. So in this way, the magnificence or the glory is referred to these qualities of the holy body, speech and mind. Another way of understanding Jampel, the glory or the magnificence, is that the holy body of Manjushri is the magnificence of the enlightened mind of all the Buddhas. Yeah. Shusa. Bell. Shusa. Shusa. You got it all. I have many checkpoints.
但是在这边，在云南嘛，人家，等到东北的秋秋嘛，这个呢，人家在云南嘛，秋秋这边的，人家在，在东北的双节，东北双节里，用的花花的麻花，在云南用，不然那各地的云南，在云南嘛的，双节里就各地吃完印度，东北秋秋嘛，这个呢，人家在云南嘛，秋秋这边。
So one thing to note is that when the homage is paid, homage is paid, rather than making the first prayer of homage and praise to the Buddha, then Lama Tsongkhapa makes the first prayer of praise and homage to Manjushri, who is inseparable from his own root guru. So it isn't because the guru has many more extra qualities than Buddha. It isn't like that. But in relation to oneself, then since on the basis of having received direct kindness from the guru, so the prayer of praise and homage is first offered to Manjushri.
好的呢，南无是样的呢，理解个的，什么是个的是南无阿弥，这卡图的句话呢，当六八是阿弥，坤度，是阿弥，那个地方有的，然后的，那同样呢，茶茶巴是，普遍的呢，等等那样句话。So
the term namo, which is a Sanskrit term, refers means prostrations. Means homage or
obeisance.
So when one offers such homage, it is through recalling to one's mind the qualities of the holy body, speech and mind. By recalling these qualities and oneself wishing to attain these qualities, it is with this thought that one pays homage.
And
the term Gokaya refers to the prostrations as having been directed towards the qualities that Manjushri embodies. And since it is those qualities of the holy body, speech, mind that one wishes to attain, that it is to those qualities that one makes the prostrations.
다들
And then that is followed with the praise to the Shakyamuni Buddha, above my head to the chief of the Sakyas, whose body was formed by 10 million perfect virtues, praising and paying homage to the qualities of the holy body of the Buddha, whose speech fulfills the hopes of limitless beings, praising and paying homage to the holy speech of the Buddha, and whose mind sees precisely all objects of knowledge, praising and paying homage to the holy, to the qualities of the holy mind of the Buddha. The line which says whose body was formed by 10 million perfect virtues refers to the virtues that are just meritorious virtues, activities by nature pure, free of all of the shortcomings and shortcomings or mistakes, free of all of that, those types of virtues. And by stating 10 million, it's to refer that it's just countless, countless in numbers. So the Buddha's holy body is the result of, countless, numberless virtues, meritorious, result of countless merit, meritorious virtues. And then Rinpoche said that, for example, To give an idea of the countless virtues, perfect virtues that bring forth the result of a Buddha's holy body, to give an idea, Rinpoche explains, saying, like, for example, if you put together all the merits of the ordinary sentient beings and merits of the Pratyeka and the Shravaka Buddhas, all of these merits together are sufficient to create, one pore of the holy body. One pore of the holy body of the Buddha results from the collection of the merits of all the solitary realizers and the hearers and ordinary sentient beings' merit together makes just one pore of the holy body. And that merit, if you do, with those type of merit, then you complete all the pores of the holy body of the Buddha. And when you put 100 of these merits together, you are able to accomplish one of the 80 major marks of the Buddha. The Buddha's holy body has 80 and 32 major and minor marks. So to when you put together 100 of these, then that results in one major mark of the holy body of the Buddha. So, you know, putting many of these hundreds together, then you complete the 80 major marks on the holy body of the Buddha. And then 100 of these major marks of the holy body of Buddha is enough to bring forth one of the 32 signs of the holy body of the Buddha. So then you have to do hundreds of those to complete the 32 minor marks of the holy body of the Buddha. So this is just an idea which gives us, you know, the countless perfect virtues that we need to accumulate just to achieve the holy body of the result of an enlightened holy body of the Buddha with all the major and minor marks. So here, you know, you have one line which offers a total complete praise to the, you know, to the holy body of the Buddha. But it is the, you know, the extraordinary quality of Lama Tsongkhapa's way of writing, which is so very, so very profound and, you know, extraordinary, that in one line is condensed, you know, within that one line is condensed, so, you know, such depth and extensiveness in the meaning. So many times it is said that every time you listen to these teachings, then each time you have a different connotation of each line. So if you listen to the teachings 100 times, that this one same line is presented in 100 different ways of understanding. So that that in one respect we can say it's the extraordinary profound way in which Lama Tsongkhapa composes. So this particular one line which says whose body was formed by 10 million perfect virtues can also be applied, whose holy speech was formed by 10 million perfect virtues, whose holy mind was formed by 10 million perfect virtues. Generally speaking, just as how much countless merits we need to accomplish the holy body of a Buddha, to accomplish the qualities of the holy speech of Buddha requires even much more merit than that, and to accomplish the holy mind of the Buddha, you know, the all-knowing, you know, transcendental wisdom mind. In order to accomplish this result, then one needs even more merit than that. So this one line of praise can be applied to all the, you know, as a form of praise to all the, you know, to the holy body, holy speech, and holy mind.
So
And whose speech fulfills the hopes of limitless beings, you know, sentient beings, whose hopes are so myriad, so various. And, you know, with regards to sentient beings, each individual question or doubt, in answering that, one of the quality of the holy speech of the Buddha is that by answering one time, then is able to answer many, you know, is able to answer at one time, you know, the many different questions of the many different sentient beings. Through just one answer, is able to answer all the doubts and questions of sentient beings, no matter how different the subjects are. And when we say, whose speech fulfills the hopes of sentient beings, what is the hope of sentient beings? It's the hope for happiness and the hope to not to have suffering. And so it is the speech of the Buddha, the teachings of the Buddha, which fulfills these hopes by explaining the means to eliminate suffering, by explaining the means to accomplish happiness. So in this way, you know, it is the praise to the holy speech that fulfills the hopes of all sentient beings. So even this line of praise, whose speech fulfills the hopes of a limitless sentient beings, also refers to, you know, whose holy body fulfills the hopes of all limitless sentient beings. Because in order to undertake the activities of the holy speech, one needs to have the holy body. So in that context, we can say, you know, whose holy body fulfills the hopes of all limitless beings. And, the activities of the holy speech, which fulfills the hopes of all sentient beings, comes through the omniscient mind, knowing all. So in that respect also, we can say, whose holy mind fulfills the hopes of all limitless sentient beings. And then, whose mind sees precisely all objects of knowledge. So, the omniscient transcendent wisdom mind, knowing all, sees all existence without exception. You know, because of having abandoned the obscuration to omniscience, the obscuration to knowing. In the cases of the Shravaka and the Pratyeka Buddhas, you know, the hearers and the solitary realizers who have yet to abandon the obscuration to knowing, then are unable to see all objects of knowledge directly and at one time. Whereas in the case of an omniscient mind of the Buddha, which is completely free of the obscuration to knowing, so it has that advantage of being able to see all objects of knowledge, you know, exactly as they are, you know, directly and at one time.
근데 다 마제시다
지진세비
마제시다 지진세비 토호세야 돼 무슨 자야 토기 안 되는 자 농발에 옛날에 내용 안에 그것도 송인가대 자축을 하지 마제시다 지진세비 그 마제시다 지진세비 송 자축을
Even this fourth line, which says, is a line which directly praises the quality of the holy mind of the Buddha. Yet, you can apply this one line phrase also to the holy speech and the holy body, whose holy body sees precisely all objects of knowledge, whose holy speech sees precisely all objects of knowledge.
Sunga, Tan, Chimbi Ronsu Chadiore, and the Kutung Oyeme Chadiore, Kutung Oyeme Chadiendu, and the Togazi Wanoji, Koyesi, Songesi, and the Tendi Indene, Sonjum Nenege, Pabu Puga Chiki, Chutam Jesi, Sechuare.
Since the holy body of the Buddha is also a manifestation of the enlightened mind of the Buddha, holy speech is a manifestation of the enlightened speech. So since the holy body, speech, and mind is a unified state of the enlightened holy body and holy mind, we can say that the holy body, sees all existence, holy speech sees all existence. In fact, every pore of the holy body of the Buddha sees all existence.
Punjami Sanjo Nona, Trayon Doji Mava Tesaya Yoga. Trayon Doji Mava Tesaya Dini, Buddha Tayon, Dedonis may be Yishiji Doji Ron Sujis. So Dedonis may be Yishi Ninza, and the Chitam Jinchen together.
For example, in Manjushri Nama Samgiti, that's an expression of the names of the Manjushri. In that particular text, it says, Chayan Doji
Bhavate.
It refers to even the hair of the holy body of the Buddha is in the nature of the non dual bliss and emptiness, in the nature of that Vajra. Is in the nature of that Vajra. So, as how it is stated in that text, then it refers to every hair, every pore of the holy body of the Buddha is unified with that omniscience.
Nimbarta, Shaja song and do Rigi. Tayone, Jigden Toma Chai in Bukavla, Jabu Toma, Mombuku Vijabos Yajichon. Nimbara Jabu Toma Kuya, then the Jabu Mombu, Pugilavato and Tene, then Jabu de Akuja and the Mongo Jabos. Ata Tene, my Jaji Macheva Tene, and the Shaji Jabu Yab Jabos is also a tepa de. Jaju Machiba Chung the order. That is reason for my inza, Shaji is me and the Shaji Jabu Regan non eh? That the most Sunday Jumden and Sumunda, Mela in the Shaji Zoa, Shaji Jabo, Shaja Singer, that and the Sumi order.
I bow my head to the chief of the Sakyas, to the chief of Sakyas who embodies all these qualities of the holy body, holy speech, and holy mind. So the king of this, referring to the chief of the Sakyas refers to the race, the race to which the Buddha was born. So this particular Shaka race is said that, since the time of the evolution of the existence, then, when sentient beings first got born, then gradually, as people, sort of elected in amongst themselves, someone as a king, as a as evolution happened and you know population grew, then you know someone got elected, you know there was a someone was elected collectively, you know elected somebody as the king, and the Sakya king is referred to as someone who bears the lineage of that, who bears that king's lineage since the time of that evolution. And so in that respect, you praise the Buddha as, you know, the chief of the Sakyas, the king of the Sakyas, the principal amongst the Sakyas, the incomparable one in amongst the Sakyas because of the qualities. So in the time period when Buddha manifested, it was a time period when the kings were very powerful, you know, when the kings had a lot of power. So so the purpose of taking birth in such a in such a king's family is so that there is the advantage point to be able to extend to be able to easily undertake extensive works of benefit for sentient beings. In the time of the coming of the future Buddha Maitreya, then it will be the Brahmin race which will be the most advantageous point of from which greatest or most extensive benefit can be accomplished for the benefit of sentient beings. To this chief of the Sakyas who embodies all these qualities of the holy speech and mind, to this chief of Sakya, I bow my head, which is one's own, highest point of the body, paying homage to the lowest point of the Buddha, the holy feet of the Buddha, with such a homage.
That sounds like a good thing to pass. That's a good thing to do.
So this is the prayer of prostrations and homage that one undertakes with the clear aspirations of faith in the qualities that the Buddha embodies, with the wish to attain those qualities that the Buddha embodies.
So when we
do prostrations or bring forth a mind of homage by remembering the qualities of the holy body, speech and mind, by remembering these qualities when we make prostrations, then it is an incredible way of accumulating extensive merit. So one should think that, because it requires limitless, forms of meritorious accumulations of good karma to result, to bring forth the result of a holy body of the Buddha. So, therefore, because so limitless are the accumulations of the merit required to bring forth the result of the holy body of the Buddha. So we can say, you know, these, you know, it is rare in that context because of the extensiveness of the merit required. And you know, and since the holy speech is the result of such immeasurable or innumerable merit, since the holy speech is the result of such you know, incomparable merit, so we can say with just one speech of the Buddha, then it is able to accomplish the most extensive forms of benefit. So in the next verse, I bow down to Ajita, Maitreya, and to Manjugosha, the supreme heirs of the unequal teacher, the Buddha. Having assumed the burden of all the conqueror's deeds, they emanate in innumerable Buddha fields. So, when the Buddha taught the Mayana Dharma, then the Buddha taught the extensive path of the method and the profound path of the wisdom. The profound path of wisdom is the path of the you know, the wisdom realizing emptiness, you know, which the main charioteer or the propagator of that being Manjushri, and then the extensive path of the method, which refers to the practices of bodhicitta, the six perfections, the main charioteer or the propagator of that being Maitreya. So in that respect, then Maitreya and Manjugosha are regarded as the supreme heirs of the unequal teacher. So then the second verse is a prayer of praise and homage to them. So, you know, referring to the Buddha as an, referring to the Buddha as an unequal teacher, is that, you know, you know, there's nobody, since there is nobody who compares to the Buddha, then, you know, praising the Buddha as an unequal teacher in respect to having taught on the profound subject of emptiness, then, you know, or, you know, we also praise the Buddha whose speech is unequalled. With regards to the, you know, or the Maitreya and Manjushri, you know, who were already, you know, who themselves were already enlightened, but manifesting as bodhisattvas in the time of the Buddha. in the time of the Buddha, and they are regarded as the unequal teacher, the Buddha's main sons or supreme heirs. And in relation to the activities of the holy body or holy speech, holy mind, then what is the most essential activity of the Buddha is the activity of the holy speech, teaching the profound path of the wisdom, the extensive path of the method. So,
I'm confounded by revealing emptiness.
Unequaled founder
by revealing emptiness. Tomation the tribune number of us, Sanjay Shane Tomeba. That's only bad, maybe Kingala, and said it to his son. Then you only two band drama, tribune number of a bad member trophy. When poor Conjun Jonah and Sanjay the Majivi Shadu, Samuel and Jabuzo, Samuel Lamiso. At that end, drama chain and stand by Ben on your one.
So, both these two supreme heirs of the Buddha, Manjushri and Maitreya, took on the complete responsibility through many different activities, took on the complete responsibility for the Dharma, for the teachings of the Buddha to spread and to increase. Then they took the complete responsibility, and they accomplished their responsibility for this by bringing forth countless different emanations, accomplishing many different Buddha fields, for example, in Tibet, manifesting as kings, manifesting as lamas. So this is how, having assumed the burden of all the conqueror's deeds, taking responsibility for the spread and the increase of the Buddha's teachings and activities, then they emanate in innumerable Buddha fields, to fulfill that responsibility, to ensure that responsibility, then taking on whatever limitless forms, limitless innumerable forms of manifestations that were required, then taking all of those on, taking those emanations on to fulfill it.
Mm-hmm. Saja Penjenda, and Monjeram Jambata. The two Jabba Songaba, Teji Tamjian Jamming or Truba. That and Rajena, and Kaja and Jamming or Truba, that Tamabin number, Tender Tene, a Pengay Yongrua. That Truba drum and Rotorne, and the Tamajiban Security, Tigan Noje, the Jesus and Wonga Trubayo, a Ten Noje, Yongiore, Tender Tene, Sonja, the Mapavan Zebajindu.
So, for example, in order to ensure the spread and the increase of the Dharma, then, like for example, in Tibet, it is said that Tomisambota is regarded as the emanation of Manjushri. Tomisambota was the person who the Tibetan person who came to India and composed, put together the script. The Tibetan script for all the scriptures, who is regarded as the emanation, and then the Dharma came to Sondesen, who was a great charity or propagator of Dharma, also is regarded as the, one of the emanations of Manjushri, who during his reign gathered many great learned masters, you know, like that. And in the same way, Sakya Benjen, Lochen Rabjamba, Lama Tsongkhapa, all of them are regarded as the emanations of Manjushri. And of course, there are many emanations of Manjushri in ordinary aspects too. So taking on these kind of innumerable emanations to accomplish the responsibility for the spread and increase of the Buddhist teachings. In the same way then, in the time of the Maitreya too will emanate in these different in the different forms of the emanations in order to ensure the Dharma.
Mepam jambe yana tansa loos, mepam baas. Mepam baas ya de, jizu tambin se re. Da mepam baas ya goya, mepam banyo shukuyore, mapam banyo shukuyore. Te kare se na ni, daja ge tomba, zambu nende mapeu kona, ni, garden de yu ni. Garden de taibu tamba to kare se ni, chun no je. ガネガナの中村の状態。だからね、残念で、ペガナも、何となく中村現地、ごびょうです。今風呂地で全部しょげられ。で、だと、おまじょんねね、残念な状況に、ずば、ずびというのパワーはいんさ、何が邪つったべてら、自分様。
So the other name for Maitreya is Mipam, Ajita, which means unconquered. How this name came about was when the Buddha was in the Tushita heavens giving teachings in the aspect of Tambatokabo, giving teachings then. it was time for the Buddha to come into the southern continent, into this world, to give teachings. So all the devas, when it came time for the Buddha to manifest his enlightenment in the world, then all the devas in the Tushita heaven, requested him to not go because who would be there for them to guide and give them teachings? So since it was time for the Buddha to manifest enlightenment in the world, so Buddha appointed. Buddha at that time was Tambatokabu, appointed Maitreya as his in his place or as his regent to give teachings. So then the devas thought, we didn't lose out. We didn't lose. So it's like the name started from that. Mipam, not lost. Something like that.
Mipam, Mipam bahas. Mipam majava de javahas. Tendrisun fujite, Mipam bahas ya. Majava de javahas. Yindu da, nyomba da shizi jibate, di pambar manyu ba nyomo ba de shiji jiba de pongwa senpa yendu di pambar manyu ba chi nyomo ba de shiji jibi pambar manyu ba yendu eni me pamba hasi
also undefeated
na me pamba
so The term Mithamba, Ajita, one connotation, you know, in relation to the first story is that has a connotation of not loss, we didn't lose out kind of name, because they got Maitreya, even though the Buddha left. So the other connotation to the name Mithamba is like undefeated in the sense of not defeated by the obscuration of delusions, not defeated by the obscuration to knowing, by the obscuration to omission. So in that respect, the term the Mithamba has that connotation to Mithamba, undefeated by the, you know, by the two types of obscurations. So, by recalling these qualities of Manjushri and Maitreya, then with much faith and respect, I bow down to Ajita and to Manju Gosha.
So when
one does the prostrations of homage, then one does that with the thought to attain the qualities that they embody. So the next verse is, I bow to the feet of Nagarjuna and Asanga, thoroughly renowned throughout the three levels, ornaments of Jambudeva, who wrote exact commentaries on the intent of the mother of the conquerors, so difficult to fathom. Nagarjuna and Asanga are regarded as the two great charioteers, the charioteers of the graduated path of the profound and the graduate path of the extensive path of the method. So just as you have the chariots of those times drawn by four horses, drawn by eight horses. And you have a path, you have a roadway which is able to allow the free and easy flow of these great chariots, you know, those that create such a road, such an extensive road, you know, those that create such a path, those that drive such a chariot, those that create the pathway for such a chariot, which is both extensive, easy to travel upon. easy to, you know, and because they are so extensive and made easy to travel upon, so many are able to, you know, so many are able to make use of it. So, you know, Nagarjuna and our Sangha in the same way fulfill the same connotation for the, you know, for the teachings of the Buddha and for the sentient beings.
Shindu Babaka Jari Yom Sita Yom Shiraji Parada Chimbas and Yom Jinin Dizong Tabela Kogi Raji. Then Yom Jinin Dizong Gondon de Shindu Babaka Vares Sumare. In the long within a tony, within tony deon, and the Samo Dingbakawa Jachiwa, then the Chadi Raji. Then the shooting Bedong Mondo Jerimate, a go Sevo Mevachi. Baby Soji Yendu, then you talk about Kawacha. Then the Yendin, Shindu Baba Kawa Jari Yams. Chijin Gomban Jesus, Shindu Baba Kawa Yinayo, and look at the Tomen Yinger, and the Chetawaj in the Gomban Ravan Zabaris. Sorry, but Chijin Gomban Jesus. Tatayone, Teta Gomban River, and the Jumden the Ronije, Longpen Yodi. Then the Rubje and the Summon Lamje Raman Rayage Lunde and the Yodom Maybe Sopon, Lyat, then Manji Tend, Lamet teaching Rapshi Nasmia, Tender Yodom Maybe Son Jignes Yobatanta Runji to buy Yobatavi, Tanta, Menta, Tanya, maybe Chenta. Any tea sawn in both the sun, any tiny little job of Umin Lam, to watch in Bosalan cigarettes and Lumpen Yodio.
So when it says, of the mother of the conqueror, so difficult to fathom, refers to the Prajna Paramita Sutras, the Buddha's teachings on the perfection of wisdom sutras, which are very difficult to come to the correct understanding. So, such as these texts, which directly reveals emptiness.
Mother of Victors, one that is extremely difficult to phantom. Wisdom, personal wisdom, and is directly revealed, and then gradual actualization, that which is the hidden that's revealed indirectly.
The Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, which directly reveals the wisdom and indirectly reveals the path of the method. So, on these subjects, then the two great characters wrote many commentaries clarifying it for us. Exactly as how the Buddha intended. So the coming of these great charioteers, Nagarjuna, was already foretold by the Buddha. You know, Nagarjuna's coming was already prophesied by the Buddha. Someone who would eliminate the view of the two extremes. You know, the extreme of you know. The extreme of eternalism of existence and the other extreme of nihilism, where one negates even nominal existence, these kind of charities who would show who would expound on the path of the middle, you know, freeing, protecting or freeing one from these two extreme views. In the same way, Asanga's coming was also foretold by the Buddha. So Buddha said that there will be a bhikshu, a fully ordained monk by the name of Asanga, who would clarify, you know, the meaning of all the definitive and the interpretive forms of the sutras. Sometime after the passing away of the the Buddha, the Mahayana teachings went at harmed upon three times, over three different stages. Then it was harmed to a point where Mahayana teachings came to exist only in a very hidden way. You know, the Mahayana teachings was not out in the open, very hidden, very buried. So it was at such a time that Nagarjuna and Asanga came. Nagarjuna was born in southern India to a family at the beginning, you know, who did not have any sons. They did everything to have one son, and then one child was born, and then when the child was born, they did some checking, and checking the fortune of the child, and then they found out that the child would live only for 7 days. So they asked around how they could extend the life of the child. So then the answer came saying that if they offered alms, offered food to 100 ascetics, then sages, to 100 sages, then the child would live for 7 months as opposed to 7 days. Then they said, what can we do to extend the life of this child even beyond 7 months? Then they said, to be ordained. If this child got ordained, then the child would live for 7 years.
And then that Lord Dun Roy, na shigre chevarwa. That Lord Dun Long Roy yadu gona ani pame puin chevate ton yu amindus. Nza ani roba momo ton chine ani chelo nang roy shos. Sene ani ton shos. Ani chelo nang roy ani tene kasa kala pe chine ani nalen kala pe. Ani nalen kala pe yendu gona ani nalen de pende taji. Yes, Lord Shiva, Rabdichon, Nuayina, ane se singi tanga la yos. Ane rabdu chung yinye se shue che, ane rabdu chung.
I made a mistake. So the one the you know to live 7 months then it was by offering alms to 100 Brahmins, to 100 Brahmins, and then to live 7 years was to offer alms to 100 ordained people, and then to live even longer than that was to become ordained himself, to become ordained. So you know, after offering alms to like to 100 ordained people, then sangha, ordained people sangha, then you know, since then the policy
of the Pamatu, Puin Chimate, Tom Mazo, Tom Luan Mendus, Sene, Robot, and the Tomachine, a Teloman, Tomacho.
So the parents could not bear the thought of seeing the child die after 7 years. So, you know, with many friends, the, not wanting to see that death, so they sent him with other friends to go traveling. So somehow in their travels, they ended up in the great Nalanda monastery, and so over there they came upon an abbot. Then who when he heard the story about how they came, like the whole story from childhood, like this, then he said for you to live you know long past 7 years, then would be to become ordained. So then. And then he said, do you want to get ordained? Then he said, yes, I want to get ordained if you know if it will ensure living longer. So you know, after become ordained, then he stayed there, studied, and became like the crown jewel of the learned, because he was so accomplished in his studies. And just as how it is, and not only the crown jewel among the learned, but became like a crown jewel of the world. You know, ornament, as it said, the ornaments of Jambudvipa, who wrote exact commentaries on the intent like that.
だってね、提供な、提供してま、にゃんでよ、インド、だんだん、よん、ぼん、ちょろかん、ぼん、よん、いかげ、よん、じえばてよ、めゆでしょうめよ、あれ。だって、ルユでしょうよ、あれ。でね、ごまんどるルユでペンね、だんだん、よん、ぼんば、よ、であて、ぼん、で、ルルクかてる、ルルクがね、ルユでや、でんでしゅうじ、ざんめんのペバレ。
So at that time of Nagarjuna, the minor teachings had declined, and so with regards to the Prajnaparamita Sutras, like the 100,000 stanza Prajnaparamita Sutra, didn't even exist in the southern continent. So it was Nagarjuna who went to the land of the Nagas and, you know, brought back these teachings. So the fact that we should have the 100,000 stanzas of the Prajnaparamita Sutras is also due to the kindness of Nagarjuna. The activities of Nagarjuna is praised as, you know, like as stated here, thoroughly renowned throughout the three levels because of the activities of Nagarjuna in the teachings that he gave to the, you know, to those in this southern continent, to the Nagas, you know, so, you know, in renown throughout the three levels of existence. During the time when Nagarjuna was the manager of the Nalanda monastery, there was a time period when the whole area went through a great great famine, and Nagarjuna at that time was the manager of the monastery, and they were also at that time, usually when the monastery went into the 3 month period of the summer rains retreat, Nagarjuna spent most of his time in practices alone. So during that time, how he's as the manager who's supposed to take care of like the means of for the monastery, take care of, you know, look for the means for the monastery. So at that time, Nagarjuna is said to have, you know, created an alloy which is able to transform base metal into gold. So he created this alloy transforming base metal into gold. And so during his time period, the livelihood of the monastery was very plentiful. At the end of the summer rains retreat, then they start to travel, and as they were traveling for, because there was a famine in the area, so they came upon many corpses, dead bodies, many sick and diseased people like that. And so they questioned Nagarjuna, saying, you know, during your time as the manager of Nalanda, you know, you were able to make very plentiful, you know, the means for the monastery. How did you do that? And then Nagarjuna told of this, alloy that he created for transforming base metal into gold. And then and then, you know, they also they faulted Nagarjuna, saying that, you know, as a monk, you're not supposed to be doing this type of business. And so you sold the, and monks are not supposed to do. So also, you know, he got into trouble like that. So he faulted for, you know, having created wrong means of livelihood for the monks. And so he was expelled from the monastery for that.
Let me say it just before the story. This is one comment. The one was mentioned, the blame that was put to Nagarjuna was just also one comment, one thing like that.
And so after he left the monastery, then he went to southern part of India. There's a mountain called Talgiri, you know, magnificent mountain, where Nagarjuna resided during many writings with a few of his disciples, like Aryadeva, Logan Paul, who's Logan Paul?
Louis Chanchu.
And one of the disciples of Nagarjuna, Louis Chanchu, he is said to have attained the undying life, eternal life. He attained that Siddhi. He attained that power of eternal life, and it said that he still resides at that site today. So when we say, you know, he has attained the Siddhi of eternal life, it doesn't mean that the gross body still resides. The gross body is not there, but there is a rainbow body. So, of course, for us to see such a rainbow body, then requires a lot of pure karma to be able to see it. So Nagarjuna, you know, through the guidance or the instructions of Manjushri, then wrote many commentaries clarifying the perfection of wisdom sutras. Aryadeva wrote many commentaries clarifying on the perfection of wisdom sutras through the instructions of Maitreya. So do you Tanda Pune Devi.
Service system.
Service system. There was one lady by the name of Selvet Sutum, who during this time period, the Mayan teachings of the Buddha was in decline. So this particular lady was felt totally unbearable that these teachings were in decline, and had a very strong motivation to do something to revive, to reactivate these Mayana teachings. And so, as a woman, felt that, there's limitations to be able to do that, and therefore needed to be born as a man to be able to accomplish these activities. And So this woman then married in order to have children, sons that will propagate the. So she had one child from a king who was Pome Asanga. And then she had one child with a Brahmin who was Vasubandhu. So traditionally in those times, the children usually took on the profession of their parents. So and then Asanga said, like, who's my father? So they could follow their job, So the mother said, you weren't born to be in that, to accomplish that work. You were born specifically to revive the Mayana teachings of the Buddha. So in accordance with the wishes of the mother, then Asanga, got ordained and then undertook the studies in the Dharma, through studies came to be a very highly learned person. And then, as the studies progressed, then with regards to certain points, difficult points, many doubts or questions arose. So then he thought that, I can clarify these doubts and questions if I could, if I could communicate with Maitreya, who's like the regent of the Buddha. So with that thought, with the thought to clarify all these questions, doubts, then.